It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo. Welcome to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. Happy Monday, everybody. It's a little wet out there, but dead gummit, man. What do they say? April showers brings May flowers. And man, April's been bringing me lots of flowers. The NBA playoffs have been very, very good to me. I'm so glad they continue tonight. We got three more games. Yes, the Lakers won one. Now they have to go back to Denver tonight at 9 o'clock on the TNT. You got the Lakers and the Nuggets. Currently, Denver's a 7.5-point favorite. I feel like that's a foregone conclusion. I think it's also hilarious that people were actually this morning on some of the national broadcasts talking about, now that LeBron James won at least one game against Denver, one in the last 12 games the Lakers have won, does that put him back in the GOAT conversation? Come on now, look, LeBron James, as much as I have to say it, the dude's been playing 21 years, all-time scoring leader, has more stats than you can shake a stick at. He ain't MJ, but damn it, he is one of the greatest of all time. This Nuggets team is just another beast. It's not, I mean, it is his fault that this Lakers roster is kind of screwed up because, you know, he pretty much does what he wants to do and what he says the Lakers do. But the Nuggets tonight, I think they closed this jun out. We got the Thunder and the Pelicans. Oklahoma City, that's at 7:30 on the NBA TV. You got OKC, 5.5-point favorite. Pelicans, going to get swept tonight down in New Orleans. Like, if you're the Thunder, don't you just go ahead and end this bad boy?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, just say goodbye. Say goodbye. And I was listening to you and Zach talk a little bit earlier. And you were talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the young guys. Dude is 25 years old. The Oklahoma City Thunder, nobody has paid attention to him for so damn long. This is the first year anybody's really paying attention. He is a young superstar.
Sure is.
Like a young superstar. I love you, Zach, but saying that he's been around, bro, no, homie.
Well, I think Zach was just trying to say, like, you know, he's not 19 or 20, 21 years old.
Well,
you know,
he's been
in the league for a while.
Does he have any idea how old Anthony Edwards is?
Ant is, what, 23?
Yeah. I'm sitting here going to, like, dude, he ain't 19 years old. This is not, like, there's only one 19-year-old that played in the league this year. Did you know that? And you know who that was?
This year, I have no idea who it was.
He played for the Grizzlies. He's number 45. Youngest player in the
last
NBA.
Last year, Jalen Duren.
You mean the year before?
That would be last year, yeah.
I mean, well, last year was still the start of the NBA season. It's his season.
Season.
So, like, are you, yeah,
no,
like,
no,
come
no.
on now. Like, come on, check yourself.
You're right, John. You know what? I'll concede to you.
Yeah, Gigi is a baby. And the reason I kind of segued off of the NBA playoffs and into the young superstars is because in listening to you, I was thinking about something, and I might be crazy, and I know I'm a little nuts, and my thoughts are just a little bit confused and diluted with edibles and all these wonderful things from what do they call it? Life's lettuce or something. I heard some different name
okay.
this weekend.
Sure, I
the
like
lettuce
that.
Of life or okay. something. It was great, but anyway, I was talking about a little lettuce. Right now, Ja, he's a young guy, right?
Yeah.
He was a young superstar, remember?
Sure.
And now, you know, the injury, the suspension, all that's gone on with Ja, I mean, he's 24 years old. He's still a pup. I'm kind of curious, though, Ant-Man, again, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's just, like, bad to the bone. There's a lot of young and upcoming superstars that are kind of taking the league by storm. I'm just curious what you people out there think about where Ja's going to be next year. How big of a star is Ja going to be? Because before the off-the-court incidents, before the injury, you know, he was the Nike guy. His shoe was hotter than a firecracker. He was the face of the future. And it just amazes me how fast you can go from being the poster boy for the NBA. They're handing that torch off to you to now they put you to the side because I don't know if you realize this. In the NBA, stars shine bright. And when you got Ant-Man doing what he's doing on the biggest stage ever, he's passing people. Oklahoma City, I can't believe I'm about to say this. Chet Holmgren. He's in that commercial with Shea doing what a girl wants.
What a pro wants. Yeah. What a pro needs. Whatever makes me happy sets me free.
And then they say, that's I good. Thank
you. Good, a little flat
you.
Though.
Yeah, yeah. And I do have to say, worst, if I was a male professional athlete and I cared about my...
Hey, John, but if that bag anything, there, bags there, you know?
Yeah, as much money as they make, as much money as they make in the NBA, you couldn't have paid me $20 million to do that commercial. One, Chet Holmgren wearing skin-tight leather pants almost makes people vomit. That was one of the first things Chas noticed. Like, why is that dude wearing skin-tight leather pants? He's not the lead singer of a band, and he's 7 feet tall, and he's the skinniest thing. He looks like, honest to God, I know you don't remember this because you don't see it, but back in the day, he looked like when you would go into the hospital for maybe the HIV, and then they would show a person who's dying from this, they would look emaciated. That's what Chet looks like. He looks like he's a walking around. He's a bucket, but he looks like he's got the HIV. If you don't know what the HIV is, do you know what the HIV is?
Yeah, I do, John. Thank
what
you.
What is the HIV?
I think it's a disease, John.
It's HIV.
Thank you. Yes.
Somebody texted me like, "What the hell's the HIV?"
You just spelled it. How about that?
But no, what I mean is like they're like that's you couldn't have paid me enough money to do that commercial because that just that was terrible. But I'm wondering, what do y'all think at 901-360-8255 at the Sissy's Law Cabin in the Lixner and text line? When Ja comes back next year, how long does it take him to get back to being basically where he was? He was the up-and-coming superstar in the NBA. He is box office. I'm not saying that things have gone like, oh, Ja, now he's like he's down here on this peg. No, what I'm saying is like, man, each season, the NBA moves quick. And when you're playing like Ant-Man and you're just out there just balling. Dude, Jalen freaking Brunson has just been tearing things up with the Knicks. I'm just kind of wondering, hit me up and let me know what y'all think. When Ja comes in by Christmas, I mean, do you not remember when we had a Christmas Day game? You think that wasn't because of Ja and his box office celebrity? So we're going to talk about that and so much more. Again, don't forget to hit me at the Sissy's Log Cabin and text in listener line 901-360-8255. Life's too short for ordinary jewelry. Now, life is also too short to watch a bunch of BS, in my opinion. Like, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day.
I was just about to say, only so many hours.
There's like
day.
So many damn yeah. hours you got. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Right now, half the shows that I watch or I used to watch, they're all BS. Straight up. I found the solution. I get up in the morning. And you know what? I don't even have to get up at a specific time because my man Jake Crane gets up at the butt crack of dawn. He's up there when the roosters are crowing, and they're going out there and dropping knowledge and spitting takes and all kinds of stuff all over your face. If you want the best show around, check out Crane and Company. It is so damn easy. And this is Jake Crane. What's up, Jake?
Man, appreciate the kind words. Yeah, man, it's me, Cone Blaine, and Jimmy Dean that are all up in that time. So those are the only – just over there whipping up some sausages. But but no, man, yeah, you bring up a good point. Like, John, the thing I don't understand – and look, I've been in sports media for – this is 3.5 years. So I'm not acting like I'm like the, you know, Rush Limbaugh level of experience. But it's like they make their mind – they're like, all right, you take this side and I'm going to take this side. Like, have you ever just watched one of those shows and – every once in a while, just everybody agrees on something. You don't, because it's scripted. So at least say what you want about ours, but it ain't fake.
No, it ain't fake, and I can tell you right now, y'all do more than just your regular show. We have watched national championship games, the NFL draft coverage. I unfortunately did not get to join you for as much. I was actually doing some of my own things. I got to know, how did all the draft coverage go?
Bro's insane. It's the first time we used the LED board. And if anything, you know, the graphics were the best part. We just tried to be as good as the graphics. They put us in, did it from the new studio. If you get a chance, just go to YouTube, Cranny Company, just check it out. It's elite. You will not find a better setup anywhere else. I mean, it was outstanding, man. We had a bunch of people in there, and, you know, especially when the Falcons made that pick, it got crazy pretty quick.
Yeah, it really did, and I was listening to you on your take today to start things off, and again, and I agree with you 100%. It's not Michael Penix, his fault that he got drafted where he was and by
no.
who. It is not Kirk Cousins' fault that he got that bag. It's basically the incompetence of Atlanta Falcons. And one thing I want to ask you, is this just shock from having Desmond Ridder and like Taylor Heineke and the year before that Marcus Mariota? And they're like, oh my God, if we ever go into a season again. So they're just grabbing every damn quarterback they can.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the Falcons are going to be barely good enough to win with a starting quarterback, let alone a backup quarterback. Most teams aren't going to win a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. You know, the Nick Foles situation doesn't happen a lot. Where I'm at with it, and I said this before the draft, I think the guys who are at the Falcons, these are smart guys. It's not like they don't understand football. But sometimes when you get smart people all around in the same room, you tend to talk yourself into doing stupid things. Like, you got to have one guy in the room that's like, listen, Terry, we can't do this. Like, I think we'd be crazy to do this. You got to have that no guy. And it just feels like the Falcons tried to get super duper cute. And at the end of the day, the whole point of drafting is not just to draft a really good player. It's to draft the right really good player that can supplant your roster to help you complete the fastest. Yeah, Michael Penix is going to be a good player, I think, but he's not going to block. They got one of the worst offensive lines in the league. He's not going to be able to rush the passer. They can sack a quarterback in a potato race. He's not going to be able to make plays at linebacker. Their linebacking core is about as bad as it gets. So how did this move you forward? To be honest with you, by the time you're going to get the returns, hopefully, on Michael Penix, y'all's butt probably ain't even going to be there.
And the whole point about, by the way, having a dead gum quarterback that's young and talented and drafted this high is the fact that you aren't spending any money and you can go out there and build pieces and put build an entire roster and spend money in different areas. I have no idea what Atlanta's doing, but I also want to ask you about Sean Payton. We talked a little bit about Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix was, 61 starts in college. My man completed 77% of his passes. He is a hard worker. He's married. He's responsible. You know, it's faith football, and that's about it. You know what I mean? Like, this is just what this guy is. He's built to be a football player. But Denver and that quarterback room, is Sean Payton's ego going to be the downfall of Denver? Because you got Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson, and now a Bo Nix that you reached for extremely high. That's the most expensive quarterback room because you're also paying Russell Wilson, which I think you're probably not going to get much production. Is Sean Payton, just who's living off this Drew Brees Super Bowl, is his ego going to get in the way of Denver developing?
Well, you know, I think Sean's done a good job with quarterbacks. You know, that's kind of his forte. And I can understand the Broncos taking Bo Nix a whole hell of a lot more than I can understand the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr., to be honest. And I get what they're trying to do. And when you look at the Broncos, the way their roster's kind of set up, they do have some guys in place. Javonte Williams, a good back. Obviously, we know the wide receiver situation that's going on there. It's kind of in flux. But there are some pieces. But I think he was trying to create a true competition, and you have that. I mean, Jared Stidham, you know, one of these three you would think would hit, right? Out of one of the three, one of them is bound to hit. Then you make moves with the other ones. I'm just trying to figure out, because I've watched Bo Nix his whole career. I've watched J.J. McCarthy his whole career. How can you put J.J. McCarthy where he's at from a developmental standpoint, right? Like for Minnesota, you got Sam Darnold, but that baby giraffe's not going to be able to work for long term. We know that. So why would you not take Bo Nix? Because I think he's further along. I think J.J. McCarthy's 2 years away. You know, J.J. McCarthy had the Avengers around him. He didn't have to be Batman. He just had to be a really good Robin. So I can understand the Bo Nix pick more than the Michael Penix one, but I can't understand taking J.J. McCarthy before Bo Nix when you need a guy to come in there and play immediately as opposed to the Broncos. They're going to have a true competition between, you know, obviously, you know, Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham and Bo Nix.
You know, I hate to say this about somebody, but I really think that J.J. McCarthy is just that positive kid who you look at and you're like, oh my God, I want somebody like him to be a part of my organization. I mean, he's meditating. He is manifesting. He's coming to work. He says everything right. He's just got the smile and he won a natty. But again, it wasn't him necessarily. They had to do anything. When he actually had to perform, I still remember TCU 3 interceptions in the first half and costing me a ton of money.
Well, you know who it reminds me of? It reminds me of A.J. McCarron. And I like A.J. I like A.J. a lot. But A.J. was surrounded by the Power Rangers. Like, turning around and handing the ball off and then throwing a wide-open play-action pass to a guy on the post or a vert or a double move, like Amari Cooper or some freaks like that. Not saying it's easy, but you don't really get a good – if you're going that early, you're probably not going to the team in the best position, right? So I think it can – I do think J.J. has potential. His arm strength improved. I still think he's the kid from the Goonies. Nobody's been able to prove me wrong on that one. But he is a winner. He won in high school. He won in college. I get that. I just feel like he just still hasn't gone through quarterback puberty yet where he's got to go out there and handle it on his own.
I like that. He hadn't gone through quarterback puberty. I also like the fact that you brought up A.J. McCarron because, dude, he must be a super pimp because he has the worst chest tattoo in the history of the world. Yet he married that girl, Catherine Webb, that beautiful woman. Remember that?
Look, I know AJ. I know his brother Corey. Really, they're great guys. Look, I'm from Auburn. You know how that is with Auburn, Alabama. But, you know, at the end of the day, a good dude's a good dude. AJ's a great dude. And, you know, he's also not poor. So that helps out.
Yeah, that is true. Now, you know, a lot of people were talking about, can't believe what the Bills did. Can't believe what the Bills did. The first day, I wasn't going to lie, I thought they were crazy. I mean, you know. And then I see that they get Keon Coleman. I kind of like that pick. And then I started looking back at that Kansas City pick, and I started thinking to myself a little bit about some guys in the past, like super, super speed. Everybody knows Xavier Worthy for breaking the 4.21 40 and broke the combine record. I mean, it's ridiculous. Speed added to Pat Mahomes. You're like, oh my God, this is going to be great. But dude, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, both guys who are small and athletic and speedy. Didn't really work out for them. I go back to the days where I think of John Ross, how fast he was, and he was a bust. Velus Jones, you have Anthony Schwartz. I remember a lot of guys, and again, only one out of four wide receivers taken in the first round actually seemed to pan out. That's like this the number, 25%. Did Kansas City go up there and take a huge jump to go get somebody who – might be more speed than necessarily wide receivers because there's some big physical corners out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and look, Johnny Radio, it happens all the time. I put this in one of my 9 guarantees of the NFL draft. Somebody will be drafted purely on speed, and they're probably not even that good at football. But I think Xavier Worthy, after watching his career, watching him at Texas, I think he is a receiver that just so happens to be a track star. I don't think it's the other way around. Like Tyreek Hill, right? Tyreek Hill's a football player that just happens to have Olympic speed. Xavier's got good hands. He can catch the ball away from his body. He's not just a straight line vertical runner, right? He can get in and out of breaks. He's not just a guy you throw a bubble screen to or throw the ball deep to, but he does have incredible speed and he'll be able to run by guys at the NFL level. I actually like that pick. I think it makes a lot more sense than John Ross. John Ross was just really fast. We can go down the list of guys that were smaller but really quick that didn't pan out because they weren't truly football players. I think Xavier's got some dog in him too. He's taken a lot of big hits. Catching balls and been able to get right back up in that little frame. So I think adding him is going to be a little bit different than some of the other just pure speed guys that we've seen.
What do you think about Keon Coleman in Buffalo?
I thought Buffalo was crazy.
I did too until they got Keon Coleman.
Yeah, I didn't think Keon was going to be there. Look, I think Keon's a guy that, you know, he's going to do funny press conferences. He's going to say some awkward things.
He's going to wear some colorful, crazy outfits.
He's going to look like Big Bird in the press conference. He'll wear all type of stuff. But at the end of the day, Keon Coleman, I think, just has a little bit of moxie about him. Is he the most polished receiver? Is he the biggest? Is he the most athletic? No, he's kind of a blend, right? He's kind of a Neapolitan ice cream of receiver. But there's just something about him. In the biggest moments, he plays the best. And, you know, you're either born with that or you're not. And that's a problem that the Bills have had. Let's be honest. I mean, nobody sat down on the field and watched people have more success than Stephon Diggs, right? And in big moments, he hadn't been able to come through. Keon may not be the smoothest in a press conference. He may not, you know, be the guy that you don't kind of worry about sometimes. But when that ball's up in the air and it matters, Keon Coleman's going to go get it.
I love him. I think that's going to work out really, really well. I also
he's truly himself, Johnny Radio.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he is.
He is truly himself. It's like Xavier Leggett. Like, people are making fun of the way Xavier Leggett. I love the way Xavier Leggett talks.
Every time
Xavier Leggett talks, I feel better about the Panthers taking him.
Man, I love that pick as well. But now there's a pick for the Tennessee Titans that I was really scratching my head, and you got to help me with this. Latham, cool. I'm down with that. Right on. Your offensive line, you need to protect your quarterback. Second round, they went up there and took Tavondre Sweat. And again, fourth round talent, but this is a guy who just 2 weeks ago, people were already talking about he parties too much. He's a little bit crazy. He needs to lose weight. He's not really all about football. And a week after he goes to, you know, talk to all these teams and tells them how that's all in his past, a week later he gets a DWI. I don't know, man. I feel like the Titans really reached on him.
Well, you know, listen, I think Tavondre, if he gets his body right, and that's a big if, right? He's got really special feet. He's incredibly explosive, and he's lived off his power, right? It's kind of like a big-time baseball player, a hitter that's a power hitter, that he can only hit fastballs. Like, eventually, you got to be able to hit the off-speed pitch the other way or hit the off-speed pitch out of the park. So, if Tavondre does get it right, I think that could actually be a steal. Because, in my opinion, I think he was going to go higher until he got that DWI. There are a lot of questions, but an NFL locker room has a way of kind of smoothing out some rough edges of these young guys that have always been the big dog. And if the Titans feel like they in that second round, if they feel like that locker room culture and growing with young players, that can put him in a good position. I'm not willing to go ahead and say, hey, that's a crazy pick. You guys blew it. But, you know, I'm also a person that you show me who you are enough, I'm going to believe you. Let's just see how he handles that NFL locker room first.
How do you think Caleb Williams is going to handle down in Chicago? How is this going to work out when it all shakes out? I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball.
Well, I this is the rare case where I think the number one pick is walking into a better situation than the number two and the number three pick. I mean, look at what the Bears have around them.
DJ Moore
on the outside. You've got Cole Kmet, who's the top five tight end, right? Your offensive line, little wishy-washy, but that's a place you can improve. And then you add Keenan Allen. I hope, because I love football, that Caleb Williams turns out to be what some people think he can. Because he's got incredible arm talent. He's got incredible instincts. He's able to elongate the play from within the pocket and outside the pocket with his eyes downfield. That's a big deal in the NFL because you're not going to out-athlete some of these guys like you did in college. I hope it works out. I just question whether or not he's a front runner. At USC, I thought when it was going good, he was good. When it was going bad, he was bad. I think Spencer Rattler had that same problem in Oklahoma, but fixed it when he went to South Carolina. So the football lover in me, hope he figures it out. And the Bears almost had to take him at number one. You can't not take him and then he turns into what people think. Then you're going to get fired. So I'm always going to give the guy a benefit of the doubt. And I'll go back to what I said about Tavondre. Caleb Williams may be the face of that franchise, but when he walks in that locker room, you're looking at grown men that put food on their table by you playing well. So all this fingernail painting, all this jawing in press conferences and crying to your mama and all that stuff, you can get bullied real quick. And sometime positive bullying, as I call it, could be a good thing.
Man, and again, like you said, I haven't seen a number one, you know, overall pick ever walk into a situation where you got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift in the backfield. And, oh, they also, in the first round, drafted Rome Odunze.
Here you go. And listen, I think Rome, while he's got to polish himself from a route running standpoint, is another guy that has a big catch radius that can do multiple things. He's really good after the catch, breaking tackles, getting those yak yards. So, look, it's all there for Caleb. It's all there for him. Defensively, you can't control that, but I thought the defense actually played pretty well down the stretch, even after losing Roquan Smith in that trade. So, look, I hope he does. I hope it works out, and if it does, that NFC North with the Lions, with the Packers, with the Bears, We'll see about the Vikings. That division is looking pretty sporty right about now.
Yeah, it is. I could talk with you all damn day, but you know what? You got a little work to do. And everybody out there, I'm telling you, if you want to watch the best show, it's very simple. It's Crane and Company. It's Blaine. It's David. It's Jake. They're the business. Follow Jake at @JakeCrane_. That's CRAIN. Go to YouTube. Just talk to your television, and you can watch them every morning. You can listen to a Rooney podcast or out there. What you got coming down the pipe, Jake?
Oh, man, we talked a ton of draft, college football stuff today. I thought Dylan Raiola from Nebraska looked like he knew what was going on. I think out there in Lincoln, you know, getting prayers sent after the tornadoes. I thought on Saturday he put on a show of nature of his own. But, yeah, we have live call-ins. We have a live chat. If you like the old-school sports talk, the way it used to be before all this craziness, if you love this show, which I know you guys do, I'm sure you'll love Crane & Company. It's CRAINN Company. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that jazz. So come hang out with us.
Man, Jake, be blessed, and thanks for your time, my friend.
Anytime, buddy. Y'all are killing it. Appreciate y'all.
That is Jake Crane from Crane & Company. I'm telling you, they're a lot of fun. I watch them every single damn morning. Now, wow. I thought I did a good job at the time, Dacus.
John, you did, and I have breaking news.
Okay, give it to me.
Jaden Quaintance, the 16-year-old five-star, supposed to visit Memphis later this week.
We got him.
Has committed
to Memphis.
Arizona State, the Sun Devils. Bobby Hurley, those Hurley boys, different breed.
Damn it. I thought you were going to give me some good news.
No.
Well, I got good news for y'all because Terry Davis is on the other side. He'll give you the Care Bear Stare. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10 right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. Happy Monday. Whoa. Man, I wish I could, like, fast forward. No, I don't want to fast forward, Jack.
Don't
I'm already getting old.
Away,
I don't want to fast forward through my life. I'm enjoying every single damn day. But it is a Monday out there. It's a little bit wet, man. We talked with Jake Crane on the other side. We talked a lot about the NFL draft, but we got to talk about the Memphis Tigers. And we're so lucky because we have Terry Davis to talk about them Tigers, talk about them Grizzlies, talk about the playoffs, and so much more. TD, what's up, homie?
What is up, my brother?
Man, you know, I'm just chilling, man. I love scrolling through the X.
Hey, watch how you say that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the Twitter does come off a lot better. I love scrolling through it and watching a little bit of people freak out.
Yes.
You have right now the whole David Jones situation that people were freaking out. So he is going to enter the transfer portal on April 31st. Is that what is that? Is that just rumors or is that actually
rumors, man? It's just rumors
right now. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And then again, Penny. I saw him. He was talking with Wolo and Matt Enfield on the Penny Hardaway show, and they were talking about how Penny wants pretty much everybody there by June. You know, even if David Jones returns, there's still five other scholarships that are open. So are we saying that in the next, between now and June, we're going to fill out this roster?
You won't fill it up because you just saw the news. You probably didn't see it. JQ is going to Arizona State.
Oh, I did see that. And I honestly hate to say this, man. We didn't have a chance in hell to get him.
Yeah, we did. If he had $2 million, but I think he had probably another money-based situation. So that's probably addition by subtraction. So I think he might have been a chemistry pain, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I do.
But I trust Penny, to get him on the board. He said he don't want to go through that again when he went through with the money. But Penny from the Sable Hill trial, he tried to save everybody. You know how that go.
Yup, I sure do. I sure do. But yeah, man, the young center, man, Jaden Quinnance, he's going to Arizona State to be a Sun Devil, dude.
Right, and he's 16, too. So, you know, another thing, too, if he's 16, he would be playing against a lot of 23-year-old guys.
Hold on, even he's might be 16 years old and he's that big?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be 17 in the fall, but yeah, he's still young. So, you know, I'd rather have a crafty veteran than a young stud freshman.
I'm right there with you, especially if you look around and watch, you know, basically what's going on with college basketball. You know, it's a different game these days. The Cal one and done days are kind of over. Right now, though, with, you know, what Penny's done, like, how are you feeling right now?
You know, last year I got burnt by, you know, having a good roster on paper. I want to see how they react, you know, on the court, you know. So I'm going to hold my judgment out. You know, I like, you know, on paper what he's done, but I want those guys to be able to come in and do what they need to do. And hopefully we can get Jaden back in the fold, you know, and then, you know, got Nick there. So, you know, I believe in Penny. You know, I just want the guys to believe in Penny. And also believe in their teammates, too. That's the most important thing.
Man, that is the most important thing. Another thing that would be important, you think Penny can get this Arkansas deal done? Are we going to start playing Cal in the Razorbacks?
I would love to start playing Cal, man, because, you know, Penny, you know, for some reason, he loves the SEC. You know, I think, you know,
Can I just say something? For some reason, who doesn't love the SEC?
You know what I mean. He loves scheduling the SEC, man. He loves scheduling the SEC. Yeah, who don't love the SEC? You know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You know, you got Mississippi State. I love that because it's a good drive, you know, 3 hours either way. You know, good for the fan bases, too, because a lot of diehard Tiger fans actually do like going to see them play, you know, and that's cool. And especially going out when we went down to Ole Miss last year, it was really cool, man, seeing, you know, a nice little crowd of contingents there that don't cost a whole lot of money to get to a good road trip.
No, that's exactly right.
Because, like, there's only going to be a couple hundred people going to Hawaii this fall, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a big different trip, man. So you have to be in a different tax bracket.
No, you don't. You just save your little pennies up. You know, do your OnlyFans page like you got out there, Johnny. You know, you're okay.
I know one thing. If I'm saving up all my pennies to go vacation in Hawaii, I sure as hell ain't going to watch the Tigers play basketball.
Hey, Tigers in the daytime, beach in the nighttime, and doing the luau.
In the luau. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. All right. Now, so, you know, like everything, I guess, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see what's going to go happen with him. But I did want to ask you about Cal in Arkansas. Is he building a beast over there in Fayetteville?
You know, Cal has never been known for not having good entertaining teams. He's never had that problem. His problem is the problem that everybody else do is, what are you going to do in those 2 weeks in March? That's his Cal's problem. You know, Cal has never been having a problem getting talent. He's been getting talent since he got Marcus Camby up in Massachusetts. So that talent is not a problem, even for the middle of nowhere Arkansas.
Shoot, Arkansas, though, don't forget about all them billionaires, man. They got a lot of money over there.
It's crazy how many, how such a small, secluded city can have so many billionaires over there. It's weird, isn't it?
Dude, I know. I was born in the wrong place. I'd love to be a billionaire right now.
More money, more problems. You know what they say.
They say that. They say
it's
that.
It's like give you those problems, huh?
I was going to say, but you can give them to me, man. More. You know what happens? You know what happens when I have those problems when I'm rich? More lawyers. Simple as that. Deal with my problems, Mr. Attorney.
But I do feel that if he can get that Arkansas thing, a deal done, if he get it done next year, that out of conference schedule is going to be brutal. It's going to be worse than this year. So hopefully, if he gets it done, it won't be next year, it'll be the year after next. But he's going to try to get it done next year because Penny believes that he needs to have the strongest out of conference schedule.
Terry, I got to ask you also, before I, you know, we were talking a little bit of Tigers before I go to over the NBA and stuff. You're a Steelers fan. A big Steelers fan.
Yes, I am.
Were you happy with your NFL draft?
I'm always happy with my draft, man. I trust in my organization, and whether they win one game or win 16 games or 17 games, I'm always going to be with them. And they have a history of, you know, putting together people that fit into the mold, and when you no longer fit into the mold, they get rid of you.
Yes, they do. That is definitely the truth. Going to ask you one other question. Who's going to be your quarterback? Russell?
Russell going to start the year, and he's going to finish the year. But I feel the long-term effect, I think Fields is going to be the long-term quarterback there. He's going to be there like 10 to 15 years. So this is going to be like a – they're going to untrain Fields, all the bad stuff he learned in Chicago, and teach him how to be a real professional. And after that, I think he's going to have the weapons in the system in place to put him and make him a great quarterback.
All right, now to the NBA playoffs.
Oh, Durant. What's the biggest problem wrong with Phoenix Suns? Not having a point guard.
Yeah, Devin Booker is a talent, but he's not a point guard.
And they had a point guard in Paul, but they let him go to bring in Beal. If they had kept Paul there, they probably would be still playing right now.
Dude, if they had Paul, Booker, and even, what was it, Ayton they had? Remember, they went a lot farther with them boys than they did with these boys.
And they didn't like each other.
Nope.
And they didn't like each other. Matter of fact, I don't even know who Ayton played for. I hadn't seen him in so long.
I have no idea
who he played for.
Where is Ayton?
I know who he played for, but he's just been a non-factor this year.
Portland?
Non-factor, man. He's a non-factor.
Nobody knows who plays in Portland because nobody's watching Portland basketball.
Exactly. It's crazy. That series, that's the one that shocked me more than anything else. Phoenix getting swept. No, I expected the Lakers to get swept more than Phoenix getting swept.
I will say, the Lakers, though, they're going to get the gentleman sweep tonight, right? Like, the Denver's going to end this bad boy.
And gentlemen sweep. But the most exciting series so far has been Dallas Clippers.
Dallas Clippers has
been you don't know who's going to win either game.
Unbelievable. I am 100% with you. I did not think that the Clippers were going to be able to hold on and beat the Mavericks the other night. I got to give credit to my kinfolk again. James Harden had one hell of a game. It's amazing. When he plays good, the Clippers win. When he's pedestrian, his teams lose.
First round, baby. Every round will get worse from here on out. So you better get the best you can out of the first round.
Yeah, you'd better. By the way, man, what do you think about what's going on with Doc and the Bucks?
You know, Doc, I don't know who he's living with. Now, he's got every excuse not to say, look, we would have did well if we had blah, blah, blah. Middleton almost went out yesterday. My man Portis, the left hook. They just making it, you know, because they were being very competitive with their G League roster yesterday until they ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. If they had Portis there, he could have probably held them off, and they probably could have stole one. But I think it's just a matter of time, though. You know, Giannis is out. Dame is out. Now, Portis might be suspended today by the league, and he might be out for the next game. So, the Wizards, they might get beat at home, you know, to go back, you know, lose 3-1.
And I will say another thing. I don't believe in this Pacers team either.
No. They play no defense. They're good to watch.
They play no defense. Not only that, though, they can't play in the half court usually in the fourth quarter. If they're going 100 miles an hour, they're awesome. But when they have to play half court basketball, it gets brutal. The game that went into overtime the other night where –
yeah.
My man Halliburton, took care of that business. They blew a huge lead because they just could not play half court basketball. Like they did not run anything. They should have lost.
Right. So it just goes to show, man, that the team that plays them next series, I think it's going to be the New York Knicks. Knicks might have a chance to win two series.
Shoot, they might. I'm telling you, man. Jalen Brunson's playing out of his damn mind. That's
yes, he is. Between him and Anthony Edwards, I don't know who's the playoff MVP right now because both of them are playing out of their mind.
They are both playing out of their minds, but Ant-Man's got that damn flash, bro.
Yeah, he got the flash, but Jalen is a dog. Roof, roof.
Yeah, he is. Now, I got a question for you because I talked about this in the very first segment, and it's kind of wild. You know, the NBA stars shine the brightest, and just two seasons ago, one of the brightest stars in the NBA was Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. He had the shoe deal. He had everything. Of course, then we know the off-the-court incidents that happened, the injury. He's been basically gone from the league for a year. When he comes back, you have Shea. You got Ant-Man. Where does he where does he stack up when it comes to the young upcoming superstars?
Because he can – Put it this way. If he decides to go back to play, if he played 5 or 10 games a year the way he played his first 2 years with those explosive dunks, those explosive passes, those alley-oop dunks and all like that.
That big smile. Field,
right, and all like that. And Memphis is winning, he will vault back up to the top of the chart.
Okay.
Because if you look at the jersey sales and stuff, you look at all the dynamic, Ja Morant still moves the needle.
No, I'm with you there. I agree with you. It's just, you know, like I look over at Oklahoma City, that's a young up-and-coming team. Minnesota, holy cow, like what Ant's doing is absolutely crazy. You know, Luka.
But one thing about on social media presence, if they post something on social media presence, you might not get the type of stuff. If Ja go out there and just post a video of him, just say, look, I'm back right now. Look how many clicks it get or how many impressions it would get. It was embarrassed those other guys. If they do the same thing, if they all put the same video out at the same time, Ja's social media impressions would dominate the two.
Man, I feel you. All right, now, one other question, because I always have to get it's baseball season, and a lot of people, I love baseball. I don't get to talk tons of it. You know I love it. How are you feeling right now, Mr. Reds fan?
Man, you know what, man? I'm enjoying watching baseball. Matter of fact, I'm going to get on a plane this weekend, even though it's Derby weekend and I hadn't picked my horse yet, and I'm going to go to a baseball game.
Which one are you going to go to? You don't know?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I got to look at the weather. It's going to either be New York, Washington, or Miami, down that way. One of those three. I don't know. I'm going to flip a coin.
I like it. I like it, man. I can't wait to talk to you next week to find out where you went, who you saw, and all that stuff. And thank you so much.
I want to see Shohei, but I can't afford that ticket. They play the Braves this weekend out there in L.A. I wouldn't mind doing that. If I get a decent ticket price for to get in, you know, because I buy my baseball tickets, you know, so
yeah,
I ain't got an idea. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I know. We got to do that sometimes. It's annoying. My question is, though, you just reminded me it's Derby week.
Yes.
Dude, we got horses to bet on.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I forgot. I completely spaced it.
Oh, no. This Derby week, man. You start all day Saturday, man, and you look at all the horses. Just don't bet on the Derby. You got to bet on all those little million-dollar races and all like that. It's Derby week, man. It is the best weekend of the year, man.
Man, Terry, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your week. I can't wait to find out where you go and what you
do. And let
me
know what horse you're betting on so I can not bet on that horse, okay?
I got you, my man. Be blessed, Terry.
Be good, my brother. Talk to you.
That's Terry Davis. You read him into the new Tri-State Defender. Follow him on Twitter at TerryD515. That's TerryD515. And listen to him right here every single Monday. I would have talked hockey with him, but I don't know anything about hockey. So is there still playoff hockey going on right now?
We're still in the first round, John.
Oh, my goodness. So it's like it coincides every year with basketball, huh?
It does. That's correct.
Which one do you think gets better ratings?
I would say the NBA.
And the NBA doesn't even get all that good of ratings either, which is weird.
Yeah.
How does the NBA make so much money if nobody's watching?
That's a good question.
I mean, I was shocked at some of the numbers. I'm watching all the games because I'm making money off the NBA games. I love it, playoff basketball. We'll talk more playoff basketball. We got hardwood because it feels so good. And we're just going to have a great time on a Monday, so don't touch the dial. Sports 56, 98, 5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports56WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports56WHBQ.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully, you've been winning when you bet on the NBA. Dacus, you've been winning?
Yep.
You've been tearing it up?
Something like that.
Tearing it up somewhat like that, somewhat like that. We got three games tonight, Celtics in the Heat of the first one, 6:30 on TNT, Thunder and then Pelicans at 7:30, and then the Lakers and the Nuggets tonight at 9 o'clock on TNT. A lot of basketball. But before we talk a little bit more basketball, do Hardenwood because it feels so good, I did want to tell you another thing that surprised me about the draft. Did you know that there is a guy who was drafted in this year's draft that has never played a football game?
Was that right?
Have you heard this story?
No.
So the Bills pick with the first pick in the seventh round, they pick Travis Clayton. Never heard of him? Probably not. Because he's a rugby, he played rugby.
Sure.
Over in England.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just tell you a little secret. The dude is massive. He, get this, he's 6'7".
He's probably fast, too.
He's 6'7", 305 pounds. He ran a 40.47 40. That is moving.
Oh, yeah.
That is rolling. Again, you could fit almost two and a half Xavier Worthies in this guy's body. He ran a 4.21. But this big boy has been picked by the Buffalo Bills, first pick of the seventh round. And they want to try to turn him into an offensive lineman. I get it. 6'7", long wingspan, great feet, they say, hell of an athlete. But when you get to your peak physical conditioning in your entire life, don't you actually need also those raw tools and those building blocks to become that good offensive lineman? I mean, I know the dude's big, but do you remember who's the big dude in the wrestling who tried to play pro football? Brock Lesnar tried to play football with Minnesota. Did you know that?
No.
Failed miserably.
I guess so. He's back wrestling.
He's back wrestling. He tried it out. Like, there's dudes who've tried to just go out there and be football players because they're big. There's a lot more skill that goes into being an offensive lineman. Now, Gabe Kuhn says that he could take DJ Burns for NC State and turn him into a all-pro left tackle. Mm. Well, he's not DJ Burns. He is from rugby, so it's a little closer. But we're going to find out if you can actually take somebody that's just big, physical, and raw, and a hell of an athlete, and turn them into an offensive lineman, because the Buffalo Bills, again, took with the first pick in the seventh round, Mr. Clayton. Mr. Clayton is what we're going to call him. It's a huge dude. Huge dude and a little bit weird. On the other side, though, it is time to switch gears. We got to talk about some gambling. We got to talk about some NBA. And I know Dacus has got to feel good because he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. Are you excited that Zeke's back?
No.
Oh, man, what are you talking about, dude? Zeke's back. A little reunion with the Cowboys.
Cool.
Oh, man, we got football, we got basketball, and so much more. So don't touch the dial. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.